let me just take a moment. We have invited a preacher to come from our community, Mike Braun, who is an associate pastor at Calvary Chapel here in Melbourne. He has been a longtime friend. In fact, he and his wife, Bridget, have been friends of Dee Dee's and ours for more than 20 years. It has been a desire of my heart to have Mike come preach, and this summer has lent itself well for that. So while we're going to step out of our Something in a Name series, you're going to find that Mike's message fits really nicely into what we've been doing all summer. He is a man that every time I meet with him, the gospel just exudes from him. The love of Jesus Christ exudes from him. And I think you're going to experience that this morning as he comes and teaches us. More than anything else, I have a tremendous respect for his hairstyle, and you'll see that in a moment. With nothing else, I don't want to take up any more of his preaching time. Reverend Mike Braun, come and bless us with a word today.
All right. Well, we love Georgiana, and we're so blessed to be here, my wife Bridget and I, and we just absolutely love this church. We love what God's doing. We love your pastor. We love his wife. Matter of fact, Bridget and Dee Dee taught for many years at in kindergarten, and actually our 23-year-old was taught by Dee Dee, and he's turned out really great. So we're so blessed by him. But we love Georgiana, and there's so many times that we have actually snuck up here to come and experience worship. Wasn't worship amazing today? It was amazing. It was. And we just love, and as pastors, we love to get poured into, and we love when we come up here and hear Pastor Corky teaching and just pouring in, and we really get fed, and we just absolutely, absolutely love you, Georgiana. So we want to welcome you online and welcome everybody here. But let's go to the Lord in prayer again. God, we just thank you so much. You are so incredibly amazing, and God, we're so thankful for you. God, we do not do life alone. God, you have filled us with your Spirit to walk this life out in the power of your Spirit. So God, we just pray that today, God, that your word is alive and active. We know that it is. And God, as we just share, God, I just pray that I am emptied of myself today. Just fill me with your Spirit, God. Lord, I just want to be your mouthpiece. So fill me up today, God, with your Spirit. God, we love you so much, and we praise you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. So we're going to talk about some things today about interruptions. So the question I have for the church today is, do you enjoy being interrupted? Do you enjoy being interrupted? I personally have a difficult time with being interrupted. I think most of us do. And what's so funny is that when people interrupt, and I'm not going to name names here, it's not Bridget, it's not their kids, okay? We have two boys, but someone in our family, when we visit them on the west coast of Florida, so if you're watching, Dad, I love you, sometimes likes to interrupt, but I just don't do well with that. And I started to think about, we love the movie It's a Wonderful Life. Anybody ever heard of that movie? We watch it every Christmas. It's a tradition in our family to gather around and watch that movie. And last year, it happened to be showing at the movie theater. So I'm like, let's just gather with the family and let's go watch it on the big screen. Get some popcorn, and you know, the tickets were discounted, like, I think it was like $2. Of course, the popcorn and Coke for all of us was like probably like 50 bucks. But we went in and watched the movie, and we sat there, and as the movie's going, I noticed there was a guy about 10 rows ahead of us, and he was so loud. He just kept on being so loud and being almost abusive and just interrupting that movie. And I'm like, man, I'm going to go down and have a word with this guy because I paid good money for this popcorn watching It's a Wonderful Life. And then he gets up and he gets to go to the bathroom, and I recognize the guy's like 7 feet tall. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm not going down there. Matter of fact, I'm 5'10", I'm just going to sit back down. He goes out, but I did pray that God would interrupt his life, okay? And maybe not come back into the movie theater. So, but we do have interruptions. And those of you that are teachers, my wife is a ninth grade high school teacher, and she says that some of the biggest interruptions she gets in ninth grade is cell phones. Between all of the notifications and all the different things that are going on, all day long, constantly, she comes home, I had to like take another cell phone away, you know? And it's just a constant thing. And matter of fact, she was telling me about a an experiment that a teacher did in some school somewhere else where they actually did this experiment in one of his classes. And what they did is they went ahead and they wanted to count every notification, every text, every email, every phone call that a student got on their cell phone during that class. And so what they did is every time one interruption, they would go up and do a mark on the board. By the time of that one class was done, there was 1,000 marks on the board. You figure 28 students, that's about 35 or so interruptions. Imagine that for the entire school day. I think it averaged out to like 245 interruptions per student for the entire day. And I mean, those push notifications are crazy. And I tell you what, we got to pray for our teachers, especially about what's going on right now. It's so difficult for them. But man, we need to pray for them and pray for our students. I love how Nathan just prayed for the students, and we are so blessed by them. And here's the thing, is I read a study that they did on these notifications. Has anybody ever heard of FOMO? FOMO. Anybody ever heard of that? It's called fear of missing out. Like, I never even heard that word, FOMO, fear of missing out. And what happens is people are missing, they get so hooked on it that they miss out on what's happening in the world. And they got to pick up their phone and kind of look at it, see what's going on, missing what's happening. And it constantly happens all day long. I don't know. For me, it's kind of stressful. I just got to have like my text message, maybe my email, and maybe just like my phone working. And sometimes even on social media, people will like, hey, I instant messaged you on Facebook. How come you didn't get back to me? I'm like, I don't have that push notification for IM. I don't have it for Instagram. I just have these things right here. But we get interrupted, and sometimes we get interrupted by God. And how do you feel that when you're going through your life and God interrupts us, and it does happen? And here's the thing is, I really understand and really know that God interrupts us because he knows what's best for us, and he knows what's best for those around us. He knows what's best for us, and he knows what's best for those around us. And we think about it, God is our heavenly Father. And, you know, Father knows best. Anybody remember? Okay, never mind. A long time ago, okay. I remember the reruns. Way first for my time as well. But God knows what's best for us. And here's the thing is that he knitted us together in our mother's womb. He knows our past. He knows our present. He knows our future. He is an all-knowing God. And he'll interrupt us because he knows what's best for us and what's best for others. And so today we're going to do like a broad kind of a brushstroke of the Apostle Paul. So you have your Bibles open to Acts 9. We'll be in verse 1. And we're going to talk about Paul. And in these verses, we're going to see this major interruption in Paul's life. And as you're turning there, I want to kind of share about Paul's pedigree before this interruption comes. In Acts 9, he's called Saul, but it's the same name. His name changes later to Paul. But prior to this interruption, we're going to read about with Jesus. Paul said in Philippians that he was circumcised on the eighth day. He's given his pedigree through there, and that was a big deal for a Jew. Letting them know that, listen, I was circumcised on the eighth day. He was part of the tribe of Benjamin. And the tribe of Benjamin, that was one of like the elite tribes that they fell from for Israel. He said he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regards to the law, he was a Pharisee. And a Pharisee, we know, were the religious leaders that kind of knew everything about the Old Testament. And he was known for persecuting Christians. And he just, that was what he was known for. And he just talked about it. And he says, as for righteousness based on the law, Paul said he was faultless, right? Okay. But here's the one thing is that Paul wasn't saved. And until Jesus showed his unconditional love and interrupted Paul's life. So we're in Acts 9. We're going to open up there and just kind of share the word here. And listen to what is written here. It says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest, and he asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that he can find anyone who belonged to the way. The way is actually disciples. That's what they called it, the way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, right? And whether they're men or women, they might be taking prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on the road, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice, a loud voice, and it said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he says, who are you, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. He replied, now get up, go to the city, and you'll be told what you must do. Major interruption in Paul's life. I mean, he is thinking that he is doing God's will. In reality, he's actually in God's way. And God had to interrupt him during this time to get him on a new direction and following God's direction. And we need to understand and really notice that God interrupts our lives to redirect our lives. There's sometimes that we think we're doing a good direction, okay, but it's not God's direction. So God will take times to interrupt our lives to redirect and to make sure that we're following him. And Paul, on his interruption to Damascus, as he's going to Damascus on the road there, Jesus interrupts his life. And through that, what happens is Paul's life is completely changed. At the same time, the Lord interrupts another man, Ananias, and tells him to go into the city and go to Straight Street and go lay hands on Paul. So what does he do? He goes in, he lays hands on Paul. Paul accepts the Lord. He gets baptized. He's full of the Holy Spirit, and his life completely, completely changes. I think about in my life when God had to do that for me. I was at a church service in Melbourne, not at Calvary Chapel, it was actually First United Methodist, and both of the pastors are actually gone in Lakeland at one of the leadership meetings. And I'm in church with Bridget, and the kids are in youth, and as the man was speaking, I remember it's called First Frame Thinking. I never forget the sermon that he was given. And as he's speaking, all of a sudden, it's like he was speaking directly to me. It's almost like tunnel vision. No one else was there, and he's speaking right to me. And I've been to church, going to church, you know, listening and all this. And that day, God really spoke to me. And at the end, he said, somebody's in here, and you have sinned against a holy God. And man, I knew that he was talking to me because I was really religious, but I didn't have a relationship with God. And as he said that because of God's kindness, he's drawing you to repentance. And my heart sank because I knew he was talking to me. It was God was speaking to me. And at that day, my life completely changed. And I remember accepting the Lord that day. And I told Bridget, man, I need a Bible. Like, go, and she's like falling off her, because she accepted the Lord years prior, okay? And she was like, what, you know? And it's so ironic is when that happened, she called Dee Dee, and she asked Dee Dee, listen, Mike needs a Bible. What's a good Bible to get him? As a matter of fact, here is that Bible that Dee Dee recommended, an NLT Life Application Bible. And man, I have torn this thing up. You know, God just gave me a hunger for his word, and as he just changed my life and redirected me, and just going through and reading this and just understanding who God is and knowing him and him changing my life. And that's the thing, is that that's what God does. When God gets a hold of us, he changes our life. And anybody here thankful that God has changed your life? Amen. He is so graceful. And even when we mess up continuously, he still has that grace for us. And it's so incredibly amazing. And so Paul, as he's grown in the Lord, he gets to know the Lord more and more and more. He spent 3 years in with Jesus, actually. And as he's spending time, he gets to know the Lord and the Holy Spirit in him. And as he's starting to know the Holy Spirit more and more and more, he's understanding these interruptions come in his life. And as he's grown in the Lord, he's being led by the Holy Spirit, and Paul is literally going where the Holy Spirit is telling him to go. Don't we wish we did that every time? But as we read through Scripture, that's what Paul did. And I have an example here. And listen, this is Acts 16, 6, 6 through 10. It says, Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Kind of weird that he's been kept by the Holy Spirit not to preach. And there's a reason for that. But he was obedient and he listened. And when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus, which is the Holy Spirit, would not allow them to pass into Mysia. And so they went down to Tros, and during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him to come to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had this vision. They got up, they got ready at once, and they left to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. See, that interruption and God, Paul knowing that interruption, the amazing thing that happened from not preaching there, the Philippian church was birthed because of that interruption. You see, when we listen to God, the things that happen, it's good for us, and it's good for those around us. They show up there, they preach the gospel, and there, what we read about, the church of Philippian, okay, that church was birthed. And so God interrupts us, and he knows what's best for us and which direction to go. Psalm 32:8 says, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway of your life, and I'll advise you and watch over you. That's a promise from God right there, that he will guide us along the best pathway, which way to go in our life, and he'll advise us and to watch over us. And I'm so thankful that we have a loving God that we can hear from and be nudged and move forward, and he's going to guide us, and he's going to take us. And so the direction that God takes us is always the right way to go. But here's the thing about interruptions, is that God frequently uses them, but we spend so much time deflecting them and missing the messenger. And why does that happen? Why do we miss that at times? I truly believe because we are so inundated with how the world is. It's difficult. I mean, you watch, especially now with what's going on with the kids, watching TV and all the things that come at us, it's so easy for us to get sidetracked off God and to focus on the things of the world, that are things that are happening. I mean, this is a big year right now. We've got an election year coming up. And so that's a big thing. We got COVID and all these things are focusing on that, and it gets us sidetracked off of God. And the thing about it is, what consumes our minds really controls our life. What we allow to consume our minds will control our life. And really what happens then is that we make sure is that when we're following God, that we make him a priority. Because as we kind of go off of God sometimes, our priorities change, and we don't put God number one in our life. And with Paul's life completely changed in his priorities. Listen to what he said in Philippians 3:7-9. He says, and this is amazing, think about where Paul was from and how he's writing this now of where he was at, talking about his pedigree and how much who he was, and he writes this. He says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I mean, do you hear that? He's talking about, you know, he's saying, man, I used to, you know, what we read earlier about how he had this pedigree life, and now he's losing everything, but Christ is his number one. He says, I consider everything garbage that I may be found in Christ, not having the righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. See, what a change in Paul's life. His priorities completely changed. And here's the thing, church, is that God interrupts our lives at times to reprioritize our lives. He'll do that. And as we look at things and we focus on things that are not of God, he'll reprioritize our lives because, listen, here's the thing is that we said it earlier, that God wants the best for us. But here's the thing is understanding that God wants the best for us, but he is that best no matter what. And we focus on him and he's going to direct us and he's going to lead us. And the thing about it is as I was thinking about this and really praying about this and how God reprioritizes our lives, I was just thinking about my past life and about me and really how I used to be, because I used to be really about loving me, about loving my business that I had prior getting into ministry, loving the money I was making from business. There's nothing wrong with making money, but I had a love for money and I had a love for my business, and my identity was wrapped up in my business and making money. And here's the thing is, if it's okay, I just want to be open with you. Is it okay to be open? I grew up in a really poor household. My parents got divorced when I was young. I was about 7 years old. My mom raised us. We didn't have a lot of money. We were on food stamps. And I told myself, when I got older, I was never going to let this happen in my life. But what happened is I didn't put God in my life. I put money as my God. And the funny part about it is as I started to make, I had a successful business that did well. And as time went on and making money and making money and making money, I still had an empty hole in my heart. And God loving me so much, he saved me, reprioritized my life, totally. It was during a time that I was making a decision on a business decision where this group wanted to bring me on to model my business amongst their business, which was work nationwide. And they wanted to take that model, and there was a struggle, but God always wins. And we're so thankful. And the thing is, I think it's so important to us to understand as a church, as we're walking this out and knowing that, church, listen, is that if you have nothing, but you have Christ, you have everything. If we have nothing but Christ, we have everything. Apostle Paul, who was this Pharisee, religious man, and the things that he said that his grace, no matter what, is sufficient. No matter what God ever did for me in the future, ever again, no matter what, his grace is all sufficient for us. And we know this priority of putting God's first, when we do that, there are promises from God when we do that. And man, several verses I really love. Matthew 6:33, seek his kingdom and his righteousness first, and it says, then it'll be added. I love Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, which is difficult because as people we want to lean on understanding. But he says, acknowledge him in all the things that you do, and he will make our what? Paths straight. See, often God works like that. When we prioritize putting God first, often what he does is he says, listen, put me first, okay? Focus on me. I'll take care of the other stuff. So it really comes down to our action, putting God first and not really worrying about the other stuff because God is always going to take care of it. And that's what I even see with Georgiana. You guys are so focused on God, God's just taking care of the rest. And that's what we do. So it's our action and then God's promise. And as we're following him, we have to make sure that we're not focused on the world, but we're focusing on him and we're loving people, loving God. The greatest commandment that God gives us, and we all know it, is to love God with what? Our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength, and then we love others as ourself. I think about it this way. It's loving God and then loving others. It's the cross. It's loving God and loving others. And the thing is our determination for loving others is actually determined by how much we love God. If we love God and know him this much, our love for people is going to be this much. But if we love God like this, our love for people is going to be just like this, sacrificing our lives to reach the lost, to be there, to be hope for people. Listen, do you think that people need hope right now? And the hope is where? It's the church. It's Jesus Christ. And here's the thing is that God interrupts us to share his hope through us. He'll interrupt us to share his hope through us. Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 15:13, one of my favorite verses. May the God of hope, you've been going through the names of God. Well, here's another name, the God of hope. Okay, the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace. And here's the key, as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, that God is hope. And he will give us all joy and all peace, but we have to trust him. And then when we do that, we overflow with hope by the power of the Spirit. Years ago, before I was following the Lord, I was kind of like an angry guy. And I think it all came from when I was younger and my parents being divorced and all the things we didn't have. And I used to have like an internal anger. And sometimes I would take it out on the boys. And what's so ironic is that if you were to ask our boys now, did your dad ever like get angry? I'm not perfect, okay? But they'll tell you that, man, dad is pretty calm. And that's only by the grace of God. You know how God takes things away from you and some things that he leaves you with to work on? I've got plenty of those, okay? But one of the things he helped take away from me was that anger. And I know it's from the Holy Spirit giving me joy and peace and trusting him. And when I mess up, asking forgiveness and then overflowing with that hope, because people need hope. The book of Job in 8, 11, and 13, it says, those who forget God have no hope. And we see right now, even in our own country, people are losing hope. And while these elections are coming up and we're all going to vote, but here's the thing is we don't put our hope in that. We put our hope in who we put on the cross, Jesus Christ. And as our nation, we need to put our focus on the Lord. And what does God want us to do? He wants us to be hope dealers, okay? He wants us to be hope dealers, out there dealing hope to people everywhere we go. And man, people look at the church and they say, okay, listen, there's got to be some, that's hope right there. And here's the thing is, as we deal hope, you know, imagine this. Imagine you're like, okay, I'm going to be a hope dealer. You go to a party, and you know how people sometimes stand around and they talk to each other, and they'll like say, hey, so what do you do? Well, like, I'm a doctor. And somebody says, well, I'm like a police officer. And they say to you, what do you do? Well, I'm a hope dealer. And I, oh, wait a minute. Okay, hang on a second. Okay. But the thing is that we need to be a hope dealer, dealing out hope in our homes, our workplaces, our community, and our church. And man, I just love so much that when I'm going through something in my life, that I'll get a text from somebody that I know. And so, you know, you ever notice that? I don't know if that's ever happened to you before, but you're going through something, you get a text that somebody sends you something that's encouraging, like a verse or something. And I love that. I'm just so thankful that God interrupted that person to text me or to call me and say, hey, I had this feeling that you're having a rough day. I want to pray for you. I just absolutely love that, how God does that. Listen, the Holy Spirit's alive and active. Amen? He is. If we just listen, man, he'll just guide us and direct us. And the thing is that he'll direct us and guide us to somebody that really needs hope. If it's a believer or not a believer, it doesn't make a difference. And the thing about it is for us is that as we're walking this life out, we don't walk from a standpoint towards victory. Man, we walk from a standpoint that we already have victory. Man, we have the Lord and what Jesus did at the cross 2,000 years that we can walk from that standpoint. And knowing that, listen, we have eternal life because of what he did. Our lives, okay, here, and I truly believe that the early disciples, they did what they did because they knew that this was not their bodies. They knew that this was not the real them. You could do whatever you want. I know who I am. I know where my spirit and my soul is going. And man, you could do whatever you want because I know I'm going to be with my Lord, okay? I'm going to follow through and do what God asks me to do. And I just tell you what, I'm so encouraged when we read this and how our early disciples, early apostles, all the things that they did. And man, it's so amazing. So here's the thing for us, church, is that God interrupts our lives to redirect our lives, to reprioritize our lives, to interrupt our lives, to bring hope to people through us, because God, he knows what's best for us and he knows what's best for those around us. So the question is what do we do? Like, what do? We want to be used by God. We want to be interrupted by God. So what do? The first thing is that we got to be open. We have to be spiritually open to allowing God to do that. And during the mornings, it's a good thing just to pray, God, today, just open doors for me today to share, to be a hope for you. Maybe it's going to the grocery store and just being kind to somebody. Whatever, but God, open those doors so I can be a beacon of light, so I can share hope with people. So we got to be open. That's the first thing. The second thing is we got to be intentional. And being intentional really means that we have to have our spiritual eyes open during the day and really taking time and saying, God, I'm going to be intentional today. So when that door's open, we're intentional and knowing it, okay? And it brings us to the third thing is that, listen, we need to be faithful. If we're faithful, and when God opens that door, and we just take, and the reason why sometimes we don't, because we instead of being faithful, what do? We have fear. But not having that fear, but having faith, and then open the door and sharing and talking and being a hope. And right now is just a really great time because so many people are confused of what's going on. And matter of fact, all across the world right now, God is doing a work through, and it's a terrible situation that's going on, but God is doing a work where many people are coming to know Jesus Christ. Amen? And so he's doing a work right now in so many different places. And so earlier, I talked about FOMO. So I got a new word. It's actually two words, or it could be also one word. It's FOMOOG, or FOMOOG. You can hashtag that one, okay? I made that up. My wife thinks I'm a dork. Try living with an English teacher who has a master's degree. But FOMOOG, or FOMOOG, stands for let's have a fear of missing out on God. Let's have a fear of missing out on God, what God has for us. And man, God will open doors for us anytime, anywhere, any place, as long as that we're open, we're intentional, and then we're faithful. As a matter of fact, if you do that quite often, you will see that God will do that more and more and more. Bridge and I were on vacation last week. We got to go to North Georgia, and we're up in North Georgia. And while we're there, I was invited to teach at a church up there, and so we wanted to do some trails. And the place that the church is meeting at is at the bottom of a mountain, and it's kind of like an amphitheater. And I wanted to know where it was to make sure I wasn't going to be late. So we drove there, noticed that there were some trails there, and as we get there, we walk up this trail, and we're just going up the side of this mountain, and listen, in Florida, everything's flat. We were huffing and puffing by the time we got to the top, and we get to the top, and we look over this beautiful ravine. It was absolutely beautiful, and we're just standing there and just looking at it. We decided to stop and just talk together, and there was a couple over to the left of us that brought their coffee up. They brought like a French press and their coffee cups and drinking coffee up there and just having a good time. And to the right of us, there's two ladies and they're speaking a foreign language. And I'm trying to figure out what it is. And I'm like, Bridget, what is that? What are they saying there? I can't understand what they're saying. And I'm like, we've been to Ukraine a few times on mission trips. And so I'm like, what are they saying? I said, I don't know. And she's like, I don't know. Maybe it's like French. And I go, I don't know what it is. And as we got done, we started to leave. And as I started to leave and Bridget started to start to walk down, I felt God nudge me to talk to them. And I'm confused because they're speaking a foreign language. I'm thinking they're just there like on vacation. I don't know what it is, but we don't lean on our understanding, okay? And I'm like, I'm on vacation myself, Lord, and I'm struggling to go back down and there's a little bit of fear. Do I say something to them? And God's saying, do you remember what you studied this morning? And that morning, I was in the book of Luke. I've been in the book of Luke, and Luke 13, where Jesus is at the synagogue, and he's teaching. And there's a crippled lady for 18 years by a spirit. And Jesus goes to her, and it says that he went to her. And I wrote down in the side of my Bible, I wrote down Jesus being intentional. And underneath it, I said, be intentional like Jesus. And as I'm standing there struggling, I felt the Holy Spirit said, you just wrote that this morning. And you're going to walk away after you said you're going to be intentional like Jesus? So I turned around and Bridget kind of saw me and I kind of went back and talked and just said, hey, I don't know if you speak English, okay? Like, where are you from? And lo and behold, they spoke English. Doesn't God know everything? And just got a chance to really talk with them and share with them. And ask them about their faith and got to share about Jesus with them. And the thing is that I invited them to come to service. They didn't show up, but we're not responsible for what happens. We're just responsible to be a hope, be a light to people and share about Jesus. And as I wrap up here and the band's up here, I think about in my past when Bridget and I, before we got married, I had a bachelor party, okay? And at my bachelor party, we stopped at Fifth Avenue in Indian Atlantic, and a bunch of my friends, and we get there, and we get out, and this guy comes and talks to me. Out of all the people, he picks me, and he says to me, "You need Jesus in your life." And I'm going, okay, this guy's like a Jesus freak, okay? And he starts to talk to me, and he spoke to me with such compassion and such love that I never forgot. I didn't accept Christ, or I didn't, but I never forgot that man talking to me. I never forgot. I don't know who he is. I have no idea. I've never seen him again. I can't even remember what he looks like, but I never forgot that day. And the thing about it is, he doesn't know about me. He doesn't know where I'm at in my life. See, sometimes we don't see it. God sees it. God knows it. He just asks us to be faithful and then watch what God does from there. Church, we serve such an amazing, amazing God. He is so incredibly awesome. And so, church, as the band gets ready to play, I just want to tell you that all the things that Georgiana is doing here, God is really using you to make an impact on this community. As I hear about feeding faculty, feeding teachers, supplying uniforms, feeding kids, VBS. Matter of fact, that video is awesome. It's on the website. It's really good. And just all the things that you're doing, and God is using Georgiana in such a mighty way. I know Pastor Corky always says we're on a postage stamp. But let me tell you something. You guys are worldwide, touching ministries across the world. God is using you. And I just see that, and it's like, and that's why Bridget and I just love this church as well, and all the things that God's doing through you all. And you really do make God look good. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Well, let's pray. God, we just thank you so much. You're so incredibly amazing. And God, Lord, I just pray, God, as we just continue to move forward in all that you have for us, God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. God, as we come together, Lord, may we just really stand and worship you, God. And even those that are watching right now may have so many things on their minds that are just going on. May they just take a moment right now and just forget about it and just worship you, putting you first, God. God, I truly believe, I truly, truly believe that God, that when we get home to heaven, as we're worshiping you, God, I believe the closest that we can experience that as we worship you now, because we forget about everything and we focus on you. We have that joy just to focus you. I think it's the closest we're gonna understand about heaven. So God, we thank you, Lord. We worship you. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Man, I tell you what, church, that worship song was not planned. They didn't know what I was going to be talking about as we end here, but I love how God does things. And here's the thing for us as known is that, listen, heaven is our home. One day we're going to be there. And imagine what that's going to be like. I'm going to read about it in a moment, but it's going to be an incredible thing. See, we're not from here, okay? We're actually for heaven. And I love in Revelation 21, and I just love these verses and how John is writing this, and he gets this glimpse, and listen to what he writes here. Revelation 21, he says that, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place now is amongst his people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" And here's the thing, churches, is this. "He will wipe every tear away from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. He who is seated on the throne has said, I am making everything new. Man, looking forward to that, right? Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. See, church, that's our future. That's why we have hope. And that's why God wants us to be out there sharing the hope, because one day that's what it's going to be like. So, church, listen, we love all that Georgiana's doing here. It's doing amazing things through Christ. And I truly believe this, is that the best is yet to come for this body right here. So, church, we love you. Thank you for allowing me to come up here and to teach the word, and have a blessed day. God bless.